It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us, as he does each and every Monday and Friday here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Today's show is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And we got a lot to talk about today. You know, normally I don't write down a lot of stuff, right? But I got a lot of stuff written down here today, and we're going to go over as much of it as we can today. Let's start off by talking about last night's victory with Anthony Macri with the All-Star Circuit of Champions last night, driving the 11 car, the Sam McGee Motorsports number 11. Austin, before we get over here to Kirk, what did you think of Macri's performance last night in the 11 car? Pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that, you know, Anthony was able to pick up a win in this car. I believe he won this race last year.
In the 39 car.
In his personal car. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Bedford. You know, I got to watch, you know, a heat race or two before I bailed over to Houston. But it's a pretty interesting track from what I heard on the broadcast. It sounds like it's kind of like Devil's Bowl in a way, where the elevation has a big
uphill
change.
Going down the back straight.
Yep, uphill on the back stretch and kind of downhill into one. So you don't really, it doesn't, Devil's, I don't know how, if it's, you know, more than Devil's Bowl or less. I don't race there, but you definitely can tell once you go down the hill into three and four Devil's Bowl that you pick up some speed. But it always kind of adds an interesting element to the track when you have an elevation change. And yeah, I mean, it's I'm really not that surprised that, you know, Macri's able to pick up a win. He, like I said, he won here last year. He's been really fast, and he's arguably, like we've said a couple times, the hottest sprint car driver in the country right now.
Cy Lynch was second. Mike Wagner was third. Gio Selzy fifth. Some non-typical names that we see up there running in the top five there.
Yeah, I was, you know, Gio Selzy and KCP Racing announced probably a week or so ago that they're going to head out to Pennsylvania and run at the end of this month and all of next month. And I was kind of surprised that they would, you know, skip out on racing Knoxville for their for a two night or for the last night at Knoxville, which had a makeup race on it, right, and have an early trip out to Pennsylvania. But I feel like it's kind of paying off for them. They're, you know, getting to see some tracks for you know, the first time and getting to work on their program before some big paying races. So yeah, I mean, it was a big track at Bedford, so it kind of, you know, kind of plays it in their wheelhouse of having, you know, big half mile experience back home.
Both of you can speak on this, but I think the biggest surprise of the night last night was Justin Peck running ninth. I mean, he's been showing so much speed. He's been on this big tear of winning all these races. Were you a little set back by Peck running ninth last night?
Well, I've been pretty good after he had that flat tire. So when he had the tire go down,
right,
he still rallied back to ninth. But I guess maybe I'm surprised that he didn't find a way to maybe get around Macri. But really, we shouldn't be surprised at that because he used up his
what
tires.
Did,
Macri is pretty damn good.
What lap did he have that flat tire on? Do we know?
It was seven laps to go, running second.
So he had a pretty good run going, and he was battling Macri, you know, laps there before Macri was able to find another gear and pull away from him. But, you know, Peck used up his rear tire and still battled back for a ninth place finish.
Yeah.
Peck did.
Anything to add there?
I would be interesting to see, you know, like what the top threes, you know, like rear tires look like after that race. Because you look at the track and it's,
used,
you know,
up,
it's
you
it's a
think.
Little slick, but it's dusty and has some, you know, dirty areas in it. So with the half mile speeds, you got a lot of heat in that thing. And, you know, you add a little slick to that, you're going to have a lot of wheel spin. And it depends on how your tires cut. If it was a you know, like a team error where the tire was maybe cut wrong and it blistered and
right,
you know, had a hole in it, or it was Hoosier's fault, not for sure. But, yeah, a couple of factors in that. But You know, I think that the track might have had a little, you know, a little effect in there too.
Right.
He was giving Macri a pretty good go there for a little
while. He was
while,
for a bit, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
But, you know, you see a lot of Pennsylvania guys, maybe guys have had experience on that racetrack. Mike Wagner's one, Cy Lynch another. So you're seeing some of those guys that you say...
that are good out there on the east.
Downhill on one side and uphill on the other stretch.
Yeah. So, I've never been to Bedford, PA, though.
I've never either.
No. So... pretty good win for Anthony Macri. Let's talk a little bit about Peck and his win. This was a few days ago. He picked up that $12,000 down at Tri-State Summer's Swing at Bridgeport. What you guys think of that race?
Yeah, that's a racy
track. Peck is how many races was that he's won in a row? Did he win three?
It was like three or four.
Then he lost one, and then he won another one, right? It was like three out of four, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he at Bridgeport, that's a pretty good racetrack. That was some good action out there to begin the week of the stretch that they had over the last 4 or 5 days. But then you take a look at... you know, where he won. He won at Bloomsburg, Bridgeport, and then Dietrich won at Williams Grove, and then Peck came back at Lincoln Speedway to win. So three out of four there.
Tammy brings up a good point. She says if you watch Macri's car, and he does, he uses a lot of brake, doesn't he? His rear rotor is always glowing, isn't it?
Yeah, that just might be
his driving style.
His driving style and a feel that he likes. If he likes a car, you know, a little snug and you're forced to run the bottom or a lane that you didn't really plan for, you're going to be tight. And, you know, with sprint cars only having, you know, left side, you know, brakes on it, left front and left rear, that, you know, you use them, it helps the car turn. So, you know, you see cars, you know, have brakes, you know, glowing, and you'll especially see cars really red and really bright at their Smith titanium rotors, which are arguably the best, you know, brake combination on the market right now, and honestly the best brake. So, you know, you'll definitely know if a car is as Smith.
They build a little more heat, don't they?
They do, and they're really fast at building heat. It's probably, you know, 3 to 4 laps of using them, and they're already red and hot. So it's definitely a pretty, you know, big part in sprint car racing.
Well, I think, you know, we were all really quick to let's talk about Carson Macedo's win. He passes Brad Sweet there late in the race to pick up the win. But that's not the story of the night, is it? The story of the night is Ryan Timms running second.
Yeah, I'll admit I was wrong. You asked this week, can he get a top 10 finish in his first night out at River Cities? I said no, he did. And then he backs that up with a second place finish at West Fargo on Saturday night.
The youngest driver to ever finish on the podium.
Yeah.
That record will stand for quite some time.
I don't know.
Unless you go out there on your 16th birthday and put it on the podium, you only have one day to play with, as it was, you know, 16 years old in one day that he was able to accomplish that.
Yeah. So... I'm pretty set back, really, to be honest with you. You know, I figured it was going to come down to the car count, how many cars were going to be there, and how good he was going to run. But the fact is that Ryan Timms could be one of the – is it fair to say that he's maybe the best young, talented sprint car driver coming up through the ranks right now? Anybody else disagree with me on that?
Well, we were saying Buddy Kofoid was that guy.
No, Kirk. The question was, is Ryan Timms the best up-and-coming young sprint car driver coming up through the ranks right now?
At his age, yeah, I would say that's right. 16?
Yeah.
You'd have to say that.
Austin, you agree with that?
No, I agree with you. You know, 100%. You know, you don't have – I feel like Timms might be the only one committed to sprint cars pretty much full-time. And you look at like a buddy, and buddy's bouncing around through pavement and
doing all kinds of things, right?
You know, it's just he has the talent to do it, but it's just kind of like, you know, he's not devoting enough time, I feel like, to be like a Ryan Timms to sprint car racing. I think, right. You know, I mean, I say that, and look, he made the Knoxville Nationals his first try and won the high limits race. So, you know, but I think, you know, Timms is, like you said, the best, you know, young kid right now.
At 16 years old.
At 16.
Yeah.
And Buddy's only 3 or 4 years older than he is.
Do you think there's a chance Ryan Timms could be better than Buddy Kofoit? Yes or no? Either one of you guys. You guys are scared to answer that question, aren't you?
I'm not going to say that right now.
Why?
Buddy Kofoit, in what he has done so far, and he's a little older than Ryan Timms. I get all that. But what Buddy Kofoit has done and what I think he's going to do, I would still rate Buddy a little bit higher.
You, Austin? Buddy higher? Better driver?
I don't know. That's just a tough question. I think they're all right there.
That is a tough one. But
you know, we're not talking about Corey Day. You know, goes to Houston for his first time last night and wins.
Right.
And, you know, he spent a month and a half in the Midwest, and the first couple of weeks we...
Is he 15 or 16?
He's 16.
16.
16, maybe 17. I know he's old enough to run an outlaw race. Sometimes you get guys that talk about their age, and it's always a different answer every time. But he's 16 or 17. But, he comes to the Midwest, and, you know, his first handful of races over here, it was really disappointing. And we're like, all right, he's just going to come over here and burn a month of his season, and he actually got that turned around and had a really good run at the Nationals. And, you know, he stayed and ran Knoxville last Saturday night and had a good race or a good run in both features and, you know, backs up with a win. So, you know, I think, you know, those three could be your top three right now. And, you know, who's number one? That's a tough question, but I think they're all, like, you know, right there together.
And Corey Day had a second place finish with the Outlaws out in Bakersfield earlier this year, too. Can't forget that.
Well, that's true. Hard comparison. Buddy has jumped around. Oh, hold on. That thing's moving pretty quick today. Hang on. Let me back up. Caleb says, hard comparison. Buddy has jumped around and has wins in a lot of series. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, maybe Buddy's a little more versatile than Ryan is.
A little
is.
More well-rounded,
yeah.
Maybe.
Although Timms has driven a midget to some success as well, but not to the level that Buddy has so far. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. The thing about Ryan Timms...
It's
going
to be interesting to watch, isn't it?
Right. The thing about Ryan Timms, he's well-supported. They've got a good team, good resources. They've thrown money at it. They got a great crew chief. And he's got all of the factors behind him that you need to be successful, but the kid can drive a race car, too. He's a wheelman, no doubt about it. And we've seen him. You know, this is not anything new just this year. You watched him out with the ASCS National Tour last year, win some races at the age of 14. And
was Corey Day the youngest?
He's been doing it for a while.
Was Corey Day the youngest guy before Ryan Timms?
Yes, that's...
Yeah.
I'm seeing the same thing you're seeing with the comments.
To get on the podium.
Yeah.
And, again, Corey Day did that at Bakersfield back in March.
Yeah.
So before we leave this, we got to talk about something that happened at West Fargo.
I'm listening.
I think it was Tim Estesen got in the wall on the front stretch, kind of rode up the wall, never flipped. I'm not sure if it was over the radio that the officials called red and then said yellow, or if Tim's just thought he saw the guy flip.
He stopped.
But he stopped.
On the racetrack.
And he got a spot back.
And they let him have his spot back because... And maybe it was his inexperience of not knowing if the red was coming out or not, right? Maybe they give him the benefit of the doubt. But should they have put him to the rear?
No.
No.
Because you go to any driver's meeting, and even if they said red... even if the official said red and then said yellow, the guys will hear red and stop. We've been, you know, criticized for years. It's been, you know, a big deal in driver's meetings that if you hear red or see red, stop. Yeah. We're not putting up with you driving around the track. So, you know, we've seen this happen with, and also too, I mean, it's a safety thing. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not like he gained an advantage by stopping. So give him his spot back and move on with the race. So, you know, we've seen instances this year with, well, ASCS, and, you know, we had two cars at Lake Ozark stop because we thought a car flipped, and we were sent to the tail for that. Same thing happened at US 36, and what do you want us to do? You know, I mean, it's just, you can't, I don't know. What's your opinion? I could get myself into trouble with this, but
well, you don't worry about getting yourself in trouble. It's a talk show. This is what we do. We talk about things that goes on. But I'm gonna say that if Ryan thought that there was an actual red coming out, I think that he should have been given his spot back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a safety issue. When in doubt, stop.
Or if you have ASCS, have the official at US 36 turn the red lights on and then back off.
Yeah.
And then send the guys who stopped to the tail.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's have a backbone. Let's, you know, stand with this rule or make a rule that if the red lights come on or you're trying to avoid a wreck.
Yeah, go ahead and
you
grab
know,
that.
You know, if you're going to have or trying to try and avoid a wreck for a safety issue,
yep.
then you get your spot back.
All right.
It's the same deal with guys pulling their belts loose.
Right.
You know.
All right. You can go ahead and grab that phone if you'd like.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they gave him his spot back, which was the right thing to do, especially if you stopped on the racetrack, you didn't do anything to the car. There's nothing wrong with the car. You should get your spot back.
No, I agree. No call there? They just wanted to talk to you, Austin?
I had nothing.
Nothing. Nobody was on there? They hung up?
No.
All right. Hey, the phone lines are open, folks, if you want to chime in today, by the way. 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. Austin, if you can put that phone number up there for people if they'd like to call in on today. Mondays and Fridays, we take some phone calls. So,
hey, I just wanted to say, Corey Day, 16 years old. A matter of fact, he finished on the podium, second place finish, two races in a row last March.
Right.
If you remember, it was Bakersfield. Then he backed that up with another second-place finish at Paris Auto Speedway. So he had two straight second-place finishes back in March.
Yeah. Gio is the youngest driver to ever win a World of Outlaw race. He won at Williams Grove driving Bernie's Indy Parts number 71. When was that? How old was he then?
I remember when Gio did that. That was...
It's always nice to have the viewers give us a little...
I think that might have been like 2018, 2019.
How old was he then? Do you know? There's a call right there.
I was looking back. We all remember when that happened. Time
you can't
gets
find
away
that,
from us
Kurt?
A little bit, but I can't find exactly when that was.
Right.
But yeah, he was the youngest to ever win a World of Outlaws race. And that record is in jeopardy right now with Ryan Timms.
I would
what he's
say
doing.
So. Listen, I'm not going to bet against Ryan Timms right now. Not after what I saw him go around Brad Sweet there at the end of that race. You know, anytime you can go around a champion like that and get up there in position, no call again, huh?
No, John just wanted me to mention that Buddy won a sprint car race in Nevada at 11 years old.
What was it, a 360 race?
He didn't say.
I don't know, but me personally, I think that...
That's younger than the age Jeff Gordon won in a sprint car back in the day, was it not?
Right.
11?
Yeah.
That is young.
That's real young, yeah. Gio's win was at Natty Open 2018. 2018.
4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
which he would have been 16 at that time.
Yeah. I gotta say something here real quick, Kirk, before we go to break. The wreck that we saw at Williams Grove with the vintage cars, let me just tell you, I don't know the status of the driver of that car, but from what it sounds like, he's doing all right. But let me just tell you, my gosh, John, at least get on the – come on. You don't need to call in and tell everything that you need to know. You need to come get on the phone if you're going to be on the phone.
Yeah, if you call in.
Call in.
Go on the air.
Get on the air. Don't call in and just talk to Austin. All right? That's what I'm trying to say. But anyway, it was a nasty flip. And it looked like he was floundering around in the car. It didn't look like his belts were tight. It was not a pretty scene with the vintage cars. Did you see that wreck?
Did you see the picture, the still picture of him in like mid-flip?
Well,
his head was above the cage.
Ah. Do you have? Can you come up with that picture, Austin?
No, it's probably removed by now.
You had to watch it live to see the video of it, right? Because they didn't post any video of that.
I was watching it live when it happened.
There's video of it on Twitter.
There is?
It was the scariest thing I've ever seen. The guy was wailing around in the car. His belts were loose. He was flipping end over end. And then when he landed on the ground, it looked like his shoulder was up against the dirt.
Oh, well, it was no full containment seat, so here's a loose noodle in there.
Oh, my gosh. It was horrifying.
Wayne Godshall.
Is that his name?
Shermansdale, Pennsylvania.
Yellow number 77. Horrifying.
We don't know the condition.
To be honest with you, I thought the guy might have died right there on the spot. I swore... You know, and Kirk called me. He goes, "Oh, there must be a rain delay going on there at Williams Grove."
We saw the results of the time trials, and for the longest time,
Hold on. Let me finish, Kirk. Kirk calls me. He says, "There must be a rain delay at Williams Grove." I said, "No, Kirk. There was a really bad accident with the vintage cars there. And they ran the commercials nonstop. They brought in a helicopter. They flew the guy out. It was one of the scariest wrecks I've seen for sure."
I've not seen any update on the condition of this driver.
I haven't either.
Since Friday night. So
yeah.
Hopefully he's doing okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get the first-time winner up at Knoxville Raceway in a 410 Sprint car. Ayrton Jennington is going to join us next. Right here on Mostly Motorsports, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with Ayrton. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. the Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, and joining us now on the show, picked up his first win up at Knoxville Raceway in the 410s this last weekend. Ayrton Jennington joins us now on the show. Ayrton, how you doing, bud?
Oh, not too bad. Little tired after the long haul home from Houston last night and into this morning, but
yeah.
Definitely doesn't bug me too much with how our weekend went.
Man, you got to tell me what it felt like to lead those laps, all those laps, and to run up front and to do what you did and beat the guys like Sam Haferteep, Brian Brown, Linton Jeffrey, Corey Day, Austin McCarl. You beat a lot of good guys on Saturday night. What were your feelings about that?
Yeah, that's like, last year we had a few opportunities to win a race there too. And, you know, those nights we started on the front row and was able to get the lead right away. So, Saturday night we actually had to pass for the lead. So it was a lot different feeling, you know, finally like passing someone for the lead there in the feature, right, instead of, you know, just getting a good start and being able to get away from them, which obviously either one worked, you know, but passing for the lead like that on that restart, like Linton went to the top and Sam showed him the top, so Linton moved up to try and protect the, you know, what he thought was the best groove at the time. And Sam kind of missed the entry and left me the bottom, and we were able to get both of them, you know, through one and two and down the backstretch. So it was a crazy feeling, like taking the lead. Like I knew whenever we qualified, like I was the only guy to kind of do what we did. And, we went quick time, and then we were really good in the heat race, going sixth to third, almost getting second. And then, you know, I was pretty confident with the changes we made before the feature. And I got a feeling we had a really good shot at it, period. And, like, I think the changes that we were making just kind of something that we've been needing to do more. And when we did it last night before we rolled out, I was pretty confident that we had, everything in the right place or starting right in the right position. And, you know, I've made mistakes there throughout the year, starting third and fifth, and you know, maybe costing myself some spots in the front stretch, getting too antsy, and you know, like driving the left rear up and getting stuck in the slick down the straightaway. So I was, you know, just trying to stay calm and be patient.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, I think we cut through lap traffic really good at the start of the feature once we got into it, and then last few laps I could kind of tell going down the back stretch. I'd look up every now and then and see the big screen, and you know, usually if it's four or five to go and they're not showing you, then you got a pretty comfortable lead. So,
right.
It kind of took some of the pressure off because I knew I didn't have to pass the lap cars in front of me. I could just kind of ride behind them.
Right.
So that's kind of like just, I was still really aggressive, you know, trying to hit my marks and run good laps, but I had a feeling I was pretty safe, and I just kept checking the big screen, trying to make sure I was was, you know, in a good position.
When you qualified, you were about a tenth and a half faster than Brian Brown. That probably gives you a little added confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's like we were the only guys to peel off and run the bottom both ends and qualify. Like our first lap, I think we were a 16.5, and then our second lap we were 16.1. And you know, it's like after hot laps, like I always try to buzz the bottom once, and usually buzzing the bottom there, you're just constantly spinning the tires in one and two, and you never feel any grip. Well, it was almost kind of like the Knoxville Nationals track where it's like if you could hit the bottom, it was going to be faster qualifying. That's kind of the same thing we did on our qualifying night at the Nationals.
Yeah.
So I went down there and when I hit it, like no one else had gone down there yet, so it was still really fresh. And we were able to get a really, really good corner through one and two and put us down the back stretch really nice. And, you know, being the first one to run that line, and at the time, Austin McCarl was quick time. So like I think we ended up being like 3.5 tenths better than the field until – Brown went out, and that was, you know, it gave Danny time to tell Brown what to do, you know, to try and get a chance to beat us. But like, you know, I think we hit the line so good, and you know, like I knew what I needed to do to hit that, like with the wing and, you know, running my feet and stuff. So that was really big, being able to go quick time with by that big of a margin. You know,
yeah.
Anytime you can go quick time, it's big, but when you can really knock it out of the park like that, it's a big confidence booster. And it just kind of sets you up for the night really well.
Yeah, you ran a 16.14 with a 9, and you were talking about Austin McCarl. He was 16.45 with a 2. Man, that is light years faster than anybody else. And you can only expect Brian Brown to always click off a good lap. You know, he's just money up there at Knoxville. But when you saw that Austin McCarl, you were that much faster than him, when you go into the feature and you're starting third, what do you think to yourself? Do you think you got to get to the front quickly as possible? Is that what you think? Or you want to get out in that clean air?
You know, like I really wasn't super worried about getting out front early. Like I felt like our car was going to be really good and I didn't really need to get to the lead right away. Like I felt like if I could just be consistent and be with them for about 5 or 6 laps, they would make enough mistakes where I could get by them. You know, but obviously if the opportunity came, I wasn't going to ever pass it up. So, you know, it was a perfect opportunity, and I took it, and, you know, it was crazy how good our car stuck, and we just, you know, was able to get the lead. And then, like, once you get in that clean air, it's so easy to make clean laps because you're not trying to chase somebody. You don't got someone, you know, changing lines in front of you or trying something to where you can't get into your groove and just run your race, you know. Like once you get out front there until you catch lap traffic, it's really basically not like – it's obviously not hot lapping because, you know, the track's a lot slower and slicker and more technical, but you basically get laps to just try and be as perfect as you can and run as hard as you can. And being out front's really big, you know, especially there. So, you know, being in that clean air is huge. So obviously you want to get the lead as quick as you can, but it's not like – I was so confident in our car. I knew if I wasn't leading lap by, you know, 10, 8 to go, and I was in second, I still felt we could have won that race.
Right.
Like we were just really, really good.
Dave Tyson on the chat room, he says, ask Ayrton Chennington who was happier after his dominating win, him or his dad Beaver. I think Beaver was. How'd your dad take that win?
He was pretty pumped up. He, like Mike Roberts asked me with the radio, he said, well, can you repeat what your dad was saying? And I said, well, I didn't really hear him, but I'm sure if I did hear him, I probably couldn't repeat it because I'm sure he was pretty pumped up. You know, it's like, that's like something there. It's like we've had a really trying year. And I think for, you know, all of us, me, Chad, my dad, and my crew guy, Steve, like Steve couldn't be there because, you know, he had some personal stuff to take care of with his father-in-law passing away. But, you know, it's like all of us, we've been really, really, you know, trying year, you know, for us. So we were able to, you know, finally get past that. And I think, like, all the emotion just came out from all of us just being able to finally, you know, get a win and, like, do it on the last night at Knoxville and finally get my first Knoxville win and stuff like that. Like, it was just a really, like, it was so much more meaningful than just winning your first Knoxville race. Like, it was like a turning stone and what felt like a never-ending, you know, just up-and-down roller coaster season for us. So
Right.
I think my dad and I were equally excited. I think he was a lot. I don't know. Like, I feel like I was pretty excited, but obviously it's hard to beat my dad on any emotion. So
yeah,
I'd say we were pretty close to a tie, but he may have edged me out a little bit.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Ayrton. Is the plans to run Knoxville full time again next year, or do you feel like that you're ready to go out and take on the likes of the World of Outlaws, the All-Stars? I know you can run with those guys, right? We've seen you do it. We know that you can do it. But do you feel like you're ready to get out and tour now, or do you feel like you need to go back up to Knoxville and run up there again?
Yeah, that's kind of, it's a tough question. Like, we got a lot of question marks left in our not in our season, but, you know, for next season, like, there's a bunch of question marks with, you know, kind of our plans. So, I'd like to do something racing a lot more and traveling a lot more than just Knoxville and, you know, occasionally Houston and stuff like that. Like, I'd like to go run out in Pennsylvania some and go to places like, you know, Wisconsin with the All-Stars when they run their four-night swing. And, you know, when the Outlaws go, I don't know what their plans are next year, but, you know, maybe run a few more Outlaw shows and run a few more All-Star shows outside of our area, like going to Ohio Speed Week and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of stuff I'm looking forward to maybe trying to do next year and, get our feet wet some more before we ever really travel a lot more with, like, a touring series. But,
yeah,
I think we're getting closer to being ready for that. You know, like, I feel like, if we do like a Knoxville and a Houston's full time, like, it'll be kind of like, you know, feel it out for the first few weeks. And if it's not going as great as you plan, then start traveling more. But, last night we were talking on the way home. I think we're going to end up going ahead and going out to Pennsylvania now for the Tuscarora 50. So we'll get to experience Port Royal in a few weeks. So that'll be fun, you know, and that'll kind of get my feet wet in Pennsylvania. So hopefully we can just go out there and, you know, not even set the world on fire, but at least, you know, make the shows, get laps, and just have solid runs.
How about some of those high limit midweek races that Brad and Kyle are putting on? Would you like to run some of those?
Yeah, that's going to be a totally new thing in the sprint car world with what they're doing, and that's going to kind of depend on where the races are at. You know, I'm sure they're going to make it to where it's going to be kind of convenient for a lot of places. Like, I feel like they may have a Midwest race or two, and then they're going to have races like in between midweeks for like when they're close to All-Stars or Outlaws and stuff like that. So, I'm excited to see what that schedule is going to be like. We probably won't run the whole high limit series, but we'll probably run a few of them for sure. They pay out really good money, and it's like, if they keep their start money at $1,500 to start, like, it's hard to beat that. Like, that's running fourth or better every week in Houston, or, you know, sixth or seventh or better at Knoxville weekly, and, you know, running in the top 15 with the Outlaws. Like, it's just like, you'd be getting that just to start a race. So hopefully they do a really good job with the scheduling, and it makes it convenient for a lot of people. Being in the Midwest, it's hard to have a convenient 410 schedule without dabbling in 360s and, you know, maybe traveling a lot. So hopefully we can, you know, cut either, you know, get to where we can travel a lot more, or, you know, maybe they've scheduled stuff closer to us, we're not to travel as much. So
wouldn't it
but either way, we're just going to run whatever we can to try and get as many races that we can that are high quality races that give us the best shot to, you know, make as much money and be as good as we can possibly be.
I think it'd be kind of cool just to run an Outlaw schedule, to run wherever you want to run, right? You can run the high limit races, you can run with the Outlaws, you can run with the All-Stars, you're a 410 driver. That would be I think that would be the most fun of anything, just trying to run an Outlaw schedule.
Yeah, that's probably what we'll end up doing, is running one of them true Outlaw schedules, you know. And it's like what Kenny Brown's doing with Power Eye around here. Like, the races pay really good to win. So,
yeah,
we'll probably dip and dabble in a few of those races. We'll probably hit a mower race or two, and then, you know, we'll run Knoxville and Houston, and then we'll hit the high limit stuff, the All-Stars, the Outlaws, maybe a few IRA shows if they fall the right way and stuff. So, we're going to try and run a full true Outlaw schedule racing wherever we can, as much as we can, and try and maximize our opportunity every time we race.
So I want to know what Nina thought. What did she say to you after that win on Saturday night?
She she said she felt like she was going to have a heart attack. I was like, don't do that. You got to celebrate more. But
right.
See, I think it was we were on the way home. We were on the way to Houston, and I think it was probably like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I texted her something, like kind of just like randomly was responding to one of her text messages. And she sent back, it's like, oh, I can't even sleep. I'm still so excited. I just started laughing, you know, like she's obviously been there for the whole deal from Gene to, you know, my dad racing to me racing, and she's seen everything evolve. So it's probably really crazy for her to like see how everything's came and gone and what everything's turned into with more than just our racing, but like my life and, you know, our business and stuff like that. So, she was really excited. I'm sure she still is excited. So, you know, it's pretty special to get that first one at Knoxville. And I think just the way our season's gone makes it just that much more sweet because we were able to finally get our first win of the year. And it's like no one ever is like, man, your first win of the year is the final night at Knoxville. Like, that's hard to do.
So. Yeah. You know, for me, I would think that you'd be a little giddy after winning there. I know you weren't happy with your results up at Houston's on Sunday. But, man, you got to feel really good about your future as a professional sprint car driver, don't you? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think no matter what, like, we'll be really good. Like, we got a good team and, you know, everything's kind of clicking now. And, like, I think really the last month since, you know, Kings Royal, we've done really well. You know, we've had a few things, bad luck, not go our way. Like, before Saturday night, I think I told Chad, my dad, I said we've had 7 races before this race we won, and 6 of those 7 we've had something happen that's been out of our control that's really put us in a horrible spot. That's just stuff that never happens to us. It's like just kind of bad luck, you know, and we finally just didn't have any bad luck. But you know, I feel like you know, I'm excited to just drive sprint cars and, you know, live the dream. It's a dream come true. And, you know, like, I got a lot of stuff to keep working on for me, you know, like whether it's mentally, physically, and then, you know, trying to keep working and hustling, getting sponsorship. Like, that's a big part of this deal too. So
yeah, no doubt.
As long as I keep doing all that stuff right and, you know, keep working at it, like, I feel like I'll have a really good shot at, you know, driving sprint cars for a long time.
Are you going to run the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial?
Yeah. So our plans are we're going to run the lake this weekend with the 410 only. And then, because that'll kind of make it easier for us. So we're going to run the 410 stuff at the lake, and then we're going to come back and go out to Pennsylvania. We're going to leave Wednesday morning, go out to Pennsylvania, and leave Saturday night, get back here probably Sunday night, Monday morning, and then, you know, start getting everything turned around and head down to the Hockett on, you know, Thursday night and run that. So that's a race that, you know, my dad really loves that race. My dad loves Wheatland. It's close to home. We got a lot of sponsors that go to that race. So, you know, it's a hometown race with the ASCS coming in. It's a, you know, place where it's, you know, you're racing for Jesse and Daniel, are two of the biggest Midwest staples, you know, before they passed away. So, it's a very special race to a lot of people who, you know, for me, I grew up watching Jesse, and Jesse was one of my heroes. And, you know, I loved watching him race. I loved talking to him when you know, he always gave time for his fans too. So that's something where I look up to him for that. So, and obviously I love Jack. Jack's a great man. Jack's a great guy. And you know,
awesome.
I'd like to win that race for, you know, kind of the Missouri boys.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, do you have enough help to go out to PA? You got enough people to go with you out there and to do it right when you go out there?
Yeah, it'll be me, Chad, and Steve for the most part. I don't know if we'll have someone else come with us or not yet. But, you know, it's like this weekend, it was just me, my dad, and Chad without Steve there, which it made it a lot harder. Like, I had to step up and do a lot more. Chad had to step up and do a lot more, and so did my dad. You know, like, my dad's been kind of playing more of a car owner role this year with, you know, everyone having full our jobs complete, you know. So we were missing a big part of our puzzle, and I think it made all of us have to work a little harder. But I think it actually kept all of us a little more focused, too. So I don't think, you know, sometimes – situations like that, you know, it makes you rise to the occasion and be better. And I think that's kind of what helped us, you know, this weekend was, you know, everybody had to kind of step up and fill roles they usually don't fill without Steve. So You know, Steve plays a huge part in our program with what he does. So hopefully we can, you know, get him back out there this weekend, and hopefully everything's good for him to come race this weekend. And then hopefully, you know, we got to Pennsylvania, and sucks that Steve wasn't there for Saturday, but, you know, I was updating him all night, sending him text messages, and hopefully we can get him in victory lane this weekend and get to celebrate a little bit with him.
You know, Blackjack Brian Brown has been really the guy in the 410 series around this area, and it looks like, you know, he's getting a little long in the tooth right now, right? But, and it looks like you might be the next guy to kind of represent 410 sprint car racing for our area drivers around here. Is that something to look forward to, being that guy? And, you know, because Brown's been doing it a long time, right? And he wins the championship again up there this weekend. But do you feel like you might be the next guy in line to be that guy is recognized as our area 410 guy?
You know, like, I haven't put a lot of thought into it, but you know, I've thought about it before I started racing 410.
Yeah.
You know, like, Brian's always the 410 guy from Missouri, and, you know, he represents us every time he runs 410s. You know, there's not a lot of Missouri 410 guys who get a race a lot, mm-hmm. you know, in the 410 stuff, because it's not really 410 country. And,
yep.
you know, that's something, too, where Kenny Brown's, you know, getting that power ideal rolling. It'll allow the 410 guys around here to get more races in and get better. So, you know, there may be people that get to do that that'll surprise us and, you know, really be really fast from around here at a lot of places like Knoxville, and maybe go to Houston and run good and, you know, represent Missouri well. But, you know, I don't think about it. I definitely think, like, right now, like, me and Brown are the two main guys from here.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool to think about, because, you know, it's like that stuff you dream of as a kid is just being able to go win at Knoxville and, you know, being able to run good at Husitz and being able to travel and race the King's Royal and stuff like that. Like, that stuff you just dream of as a kid. And I think a lot of the times I'm still awestruck that I'm doing it. You know, it's like I can't even believe we got to where we are. It's like I never would have dreamed this up for us. You know, like, I thought, like, you know, for me, it's like, well, we're running 360s around Missouri in a lot of 410 race, and I may get a chance to run Knoxville weekly in a 410 at some point. And that was all I ever thought about. You know, that's like, I thought that was all that, you know, we would do. You know, it's like, obviously you have goals and want to do more, but it's like, you know, you keep working at them. And, you know, luckily for me, like, the opportunity just came with the Fishers, that they were able to step up our program, and they, you know, kind of pushed us along last year, trying to get us to go travel more, trying to get us to race more. And, you know, and them doing that, it helped us actually get out of our comfort zone of just racing around here and, you know, hitting and missing outlaw stuff. So, you know, they played a big role in helping me speed up there. So,
yeah, no doubt.
You know, it's been crazy. It's like, really, it's like I shared something on Facebook a few weeks ago. 2 years ago, we won a Moberly race with the Warrior Region. And it's like I felt on top of the world then in 2020 when we were winning, you know, 5 360 races, and we won a points title, and we got to run with the 410s and make outlaw shows. So,
yeah,
you know, I felt on top of the world then. And like, now I'm just like, you know, sometimes it's hard not to, you know, get caught up in the moment and be like, oh man, like, crap, I didn't win tonight. Like, I need to keep winning. I need to start running better. But then it's like, you know, if I take a step back and be like, man, like, if you just, you know, look at it in big picture, it's like I'm doing something really cool that not a lot of guys get to do. And,
no doubt,
you know, I'm very, very grateful and fortunate for the opportunity I have, and being able to try and make the most out of it is, you know, all I can do. So I'm very lucky, very fortunate. And, you know, it's like the only thing I can do is just try to keep working as hard as I can and try and do the best I can for, you know, myself, my sponsors, my crew, and, you know, everyone that's supported me along the way.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, listen, Airton, we're so happy for you, man, that you picked up that first one on the final night of the season up there at Knoxville Raceway. There's more to come. We know it. You're going to win many, 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 many more races before your career is up, and we're excited for you. We're going to be pulling for you next year if you run that outlaw schedule too as well. Man, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Thanks for doing so, and good luck to you when you get up to PA, all right?
Thanks, Scott.
All right, there you have it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Lee Spencer joins us right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Yeah. You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us today on the show. It's Monday. Kirk sits in with us on Mondays and Fridays. A lot to talk about coming off the weekend, going into the weekend. And joining us now on the show is Racing Boys own Lee Spencer. Lee, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, boy?
We're doing okay. So me and Kirk we've been having this little tiff in during the commercial break.
No.
Let me just say that I think NASCAR waiting 3 hours and 19 minutes to restart that race with 20 laps to go is BS, if you want to know the truth. I think what they were trying, I think they were trying to save a little egg on their face because the teams knew that it was raining the lap before they went down there and wrecked in turn one, right? They all knew that there was they all knew that there was some rain down there, and I think NASCAR was trying to save a little egg on their face by waiting long enough to restart that race. What do you think about that?
Well, I think when your boy J.J. Haley, better known as Justin Haley, since there was a J.J. Haley already in the sport.
Right.
You know, when he comes over the radio and says, and I will clean this up for radio, freaking rain, you know, because he was leading the race before he wrecked, I think that pretty much says it all.
Yeah. So,
but on the other side of that, on the other side, I think the racing gods prevailed, and this is why I will tell you, the racing gods prevailed because the guy that was leading the race when the race was called came back and won the race. Right.
That's true.
If you had a different winner, you know, you and had a different outcome, you know, I think I talked to you guys about it on Saturday morning. I really thought it was badass about the whole Jeremy Clements thing because you don't see those kinds of wins, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't see the kind of top 10 you had at the finish of the Xfinity race. Well, look what we had on Sunday. And I had to sit there and check myself, right? Because, you know, not only did we have a rain delay, we completely moved it to Saturday.
Right.
And if anybody has reason to bitch and moan today, Scott, it's me and Reed because we didn't get home till 2 a.m. because it was always our plan to drive back, right?
Right.
I've got a legitimate excuse to bitch and moan. But anyway, I think the rightful guy won. I think you are right from the standpoint that NASCAR was saving their ass because they did put those teams in that precarious spot before the 13 cars got wrecked.
Right.
At the end of the day, you know, Blaney, who was first, second, or third in points for like, gosh, I want to say 22 weeks or some crazy number like that. You know, he really was, he was the Mr. Consistent. He was like the Matt Kenseth without a win, right? I mean, just going and had every reason to be there, just was missing the W. And, you know, same thing for Truex. If it ended and you had a repeat winner yesterday, then everything would have stayed status quo. And, you know, then you had Austin Dillon pull one out, had a teammate pushing to the end, you know, which really made for an interesting dynamic. And, you know, Austin Cindric, he could have gone back to back on Daytona wins and nobody would have been surprised with that ending. I don't think anybody would have, you know, really freaked out. And after talking to him on pit road following the race, he was every bit as happy for himself finishing third as he was, or, you know, for Ryan Blaney getting in as he was finishing third yesterday. He just was really, he's bought into the whole teamwork thing because that's all he's known, you know, and he's watched his father be so successful on the Team Penske IndyCar side of things, you know, for so long. And so now to really be a part and figure into a situation where you get all three Team Penske cars into the mix. I mean, that's quite the accomplishment, and he's got a right to be proud about that. But I mean, I thought that was cool. I thought Austin Dillon, if you had to look at somebody, and we talked about this going into, you know, what was supposed to be Saturday's race, which turned out to be Sunday, you had seven guys that were on the outside of that top 16 looking in who had Daytona wins. I mean, at any given time during that race, any one of those seven guys had a legitimate shot and would have been a legit winner of the race. I mean, I don't think any of those seven guys wins, and Austin was one of those guys, it would not have surprised any of us. So, you know, the fact that, yes, they covered their butts by, you know, waiting out the rain delay. They saw a hole in the radar. We got a legit finish. They ran all the laps, you know, we saw it to the bitter end, and mm-hmm. the guy who was leading when they called the race the first time came back and won at the end. So yeah. I don't have any idea. I don't have any problem at the end of the day what we witnessed yesterday.
Is you can feel the pulse of the drivers. Was Cindric really ticked off at Dylan for rubbing him out? Because, man, I mean, he barely saved that car when he got into him going down into turn one. Was he did a bunch of talk speak on the air, but you think he was really ticked off at Austin Dillon?
I mean, any driver is going to have a little bit of being ticked off because you see the opportunity to win, and that mm-hmm. would have been his second win. You know, we can go back a week earlier, and was Chase Elliott pissed off at Kyle Larson? He's probably yeah. still pissed off at Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
That was the fun debate this weekend was the slip of the tongue about Bristol, simply because he expected that, you know, it's the end of August, and usually around this, you know, time of the racing season, we're going to Bristol. Or was it in the back of his head? Was this some sort of subliminal message
right.
that Chase Elliott is sending because he's going to exact his revenge once we get to Thunder Valley? I mean, you know, to hear some of this conspiracy bullshit. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, this is why you can do this 5 days a week, because there's no end in sports radio talk, especially on right. the NASCAR side.
You know, me personally, you know who I was pulling for yesterday. I was pulling for the 77 car because of my friend TJ, right? But the worst thing
right.
the worst thing that could have happened last night would have been Noah Gragson winning that race. That could have been the worst thing possibly happening, couldn't it?
Well, because he probably would have thrown up and completely lost his marbles. But, you know, I went over and talked to Noah, and I congratulated him. I thought it's nice when you're a kid who, you know, you get a reputation as a silver spooner, and people wonder, you know, if you're only going to the Cup Series because daddy's writing a check for you to do so, or granddaddy, or, you know,
whoever,
pick whichever, yeah. wherever your funds are coming from, right? You had several looks at what could have been. You had a couple of buddies over there that might have been in a position to make you, you know, happy yesterday. But any of those seven guys wins, it's a great story. It's a legit story. And I got to tell you, Blaney, just that whole 12 team, and this could be a team-building exercise for them going into the playoffs. No, they don't have a win yet. But the way that they pulled together and they never gave up, he was 25 points he had a 25-point advantage going in. By the time that the by the time that red flag flew,
yep.
Truex was on the plus side. So it was only after these guys started dropping out like flies, you know, once they reset the field, because let's face it, when they red flagged it, some of those cars weren't going anywhere.
Right.
So once you clean that bunch out, I think he was 23rd. He got to 15th, and it was a 3-point swing there going in Blaney's advantage at the end. And it was absolutely crazy. I mean, I was asked about a couple of things that TV was reporting on, and I have to say, when Denny Hamlin got hurt, I made a beeline for the infield care center, simply because they were saying that he was hurt. You know, and we just didn't know what to expect when we saw him. And he said that was the hardest hit that he had ever taken in the next-gen car. And so I think it gives him a little bit of idea as to what Kurt's going through right now. And so I think that that's another, you know, little angle there to kind of firsthand experience. You don't want that kind of firsthand experience, but I think he's got a good idea now what, you know, his fellow 40-something driver is going through.
Do you think that's the biggest disappointment for NASCAR fans, that Martin Truex didn't make it into the playoffs?
Probably. Yeah. You know, unless your driver didn't win yesterday. And then that's probably, you know, there's probably some likelihood of that. But I don't know if it's a disappointment more as it is a surprise when you think of a guy of his caliber and you look at the fact that for the last 7 years, Martin Truex Jr. has been battling for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
For the last, you know, three of those 8 years, he's made it to the Final Four. I think only Harvick and Kyle Busch are the only ones that have made it to the Final Four 4 years in a row. But, you know, Truex is one of those guys that you just expect him to be there and to be in the hunt. And as I said when I was on Press Pass on Saturday, I don't get the warm, fuzzy feeling that I'm not feeling the warm and fuzzy between Truex and James Small. You know, I like James. I really like Martin a lot. You know, he's a great guy. He's a class act. I mean, you know, that walk yesterday out of the 19 car and down to the media scrum, that's the last place he wanted to be, right? But,
yep.
You know, he's a class act. He's a former championship. He carries himself like one, always has. He's represented the sport, you know, phenomenally in the time that he's been there, whether he was winning championships on the Xfinity side or in the Cup side. So I won't say, you know, what I would say is that it's probably just disappointment, and you just can't believe that that team is in the position they're in. And
yeah.
One guy brought up this, you know, brought up a point, and he said, yes, I have sour grapes, but and this goes back to the whole Kyle Busch thing. One guy on Morning Drive this morning, he goes, what the hell is wrong with you, Joe Gibbs? You know, you extend the contract of a guy who doesn't make the playoffs, but, you know, the guy that does, you're still sitting there and leaving him in limbo land. And, you know, that was another question I was asked over the weekend was, do you think Kyle Busch's contract extension overshadow what's going on in the playoffs? So I said, no, it's a sidebar. He's just one guy. But at the end of the day, he is the current driver with the most wins, with the most championships. And it's just, you know, hard to believe that someone hasn't snatched him up. I mean, I did have a long talk with Justin Marks this weekend and asked Justin, you know, are you in the Kyle Busch sweepstakes? And, you know, as I said on Sirius, the fact that Kyle Busch Motorsports is the preeminent truck operation in what's soon to be the Craftsman Truck Series. We had some other great news this weekend. But, you know, since he does have, you know, just the juggernaut of all truck organizations, if Chevrolet, because Ford's not interested, they sell plenty of F-150s, but if Chevrolet really wants to bolster their truck program in NASCAR, you go and you get Kyle Busch, and you go and you get the truck team, and you basically shut down half of Toyota's, you know, truck operation and the dominance that they've had mm-hmm. in that series for so long. I mean, I think for Chevrolet, whether it's Justin Marks, who also wants to have an Indy car, who could potentially be looking at helping Jimmy Johnson with the double-double and helping Elio Castroneves make his NASCAR debut in the Daytona 500 in 2023, you increase your footprint and you make yourself the up-and-coming preeminent organization in NASCAR because I mean, let's face it. Most of the owners out there, they're in their 70s or 80s right now. Justin's got so much energy. He's got so much promise. And when you hear about him inking sponsorship deals on the back of Pitbull's yacht, how freaking cool is that?
Yeah, no doubt.
I asked Justin, I said, can you imagine 10 years ago telling somebody, yeah, I sealed the deal with Princess Cruises on the back of Pitbull's yacht. I mean, you know, it's like that John Lovett character on Saturday Night Live, right? Morgan Fairchild's my girlfriend. I mean, it's like.
yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
That's the one, right? Yeah. Kevin Harvick was so close to getting through that hole in that wreck.
Oh my God!
That the outcome might have been different if he makes it through that wreck.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's a man playing with boys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a completely different scenario. And I didn't realize, like I said, because when Denny got hurt, I hightailed it over the Enfield Care Center. You know where that is from the media center.
Yep.
So it's a good little click. But I had no idea the controversy that was going on over Kevin Harvick saying that he had the lead when it was red flagged. And there were people putting pictures up on Twitter. I mean, there was all kinds of conspiracies going around. But my gosh, once that race went green, Kevin Harvick's car wasn't even moving.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen stranger things. I can say that. But, you know, of all the things, and there's plenty to miss during a restrictor plate race. I mean, you're not going to be on, you know, you're not going to see every little nuance. But that was one of the ones that escaped me once I heard the aftermath of that whole argument.
Yeah. All right. I got to switch gears here just for a second. How about the young Ryan Timms running second with the World of Outlaws, second to Carson Macedo?
Oh, my goodness gracious. When I, you know, okay, so I have to tell you because it worked out so perfectly, right, Saturday night, because I see Kyle Cummins cash a $35,000 check for winning.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you could have knocked me over with a feather when I saw that kind of purse for a sprint car race. Okay, so that's first, you know, and then I guess I went. It was what that and I had what Kokomo, Williams Grove, and then what was the you brought up Ryan Timms.
Red River Valley. Red River Valley in West Fargo, North Dakota.
Right. I mean, I got to see boom, boom, boom. I think that, and you know, and then the Cardinals went on top of it. It was like it was like a dream come true, because I knew if the race was going on, I would have missed all of this. But for him to do what he did, I was shocked because I didn't know he was making his debut. And then we also have to give out a shout out to Dathan Persley, right?
Yep.
That was like, that was just absolutely incredible to see him come back and, you know, do as well as he did. But Ryan Timms, you know, to hold his own against the Outlaws, that was probably, yeah, between he and Dathan, you know, tip of the cap to both of them this weekend.
I think Ryan Timms will be the next driver to make his way to NASCAR, don't you think?
It depends, you know. If he's a Zeb Wise, he says, you know, my heart is always an open wheel. It's always going to be an open wheel.
Well, that's true.
You know, if he's Zeb, or is he Buddy Kofoid, who, you know, is probably headed this way sometime soon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Lee. Well, what do you got coming up on Racing Boys?
That's a really good question, because my brain is, the fog is finally lifting after getting in it at, you know, 2 something in the morning last night. So I'm just starting to look at, you know, I'm leaning towards Martin Truex, only because he's just such a class act, and, you know, where do we go from here? And I really think that they need to, you know, if next year is his last year, and, you know, potentially that's the case, because I think he only signed a 1-year deal. I just hope that they find a situation where there just seems to be a better level of communication between him and whoever his crew chief is, whether it's James Small or somebody else. You got to find somebody to make Martin happy, because he doesn't sound happy on the radio, at least not to me.
Yeah. Okay. Just so you know, Lee's got a great column up there right now. Crazy Faith carries Austin Dillon into NASCAR Cup playoffs. It's a good piece. You got to get over there and read it. You can go to the Racing Boys Scoop page on racingboys.com. Lee, we always thank you for taking the time to join us here on Mondays. We appreciate you. And we'll talk to you on Saturday, okay?
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love joining you, and that way we get to talk a little bit of this, that, and the other.
All right. That's what's great about...
I'm still waiting for that music segment, right?
What you want to talk some music?
Well, I mean, you guys, I saw a Facebook post of you and Todd, you know, taking in some, a little bit of something, and I was kind of, I know that's your favorite bar, but I'm waiting for my invitation.
Well, you know, just so you know, next Wednesday, Steve Post and myself, and I don't know if, who else is going to go with us, but we're all going down
to... A Knucklehead Extravaganza.
Do you want to go?
If I'm back in town in time.
All right. Just let me...
You know, as long as everything goes according to plan in Darlington, we'll start trying to work that way.
Kirk went to Knuckleheads.
Hey, one more shout out this weekend, okay?
Yeah.
Georgia Henneberry making her MRN debut.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I heard that, yeah. Kirk, you went to Knuckleheads.
She did a hell of a job.
She did a good job, really good job.
We were shoulder to shoulder at the Infield Care Center in the rain.
Oh, great. Kirk, tell Lee about Knuckleheads. Was it a good experience?
Oh, we had a great time down there.
That's right. You were there, too, weren't
you? I was in the photo, too, yeah. Todd and Scott and I and Deidre, we were all there together.
You finally...
I couldn't understand a word you said because Kirk was talking. What'd you say, Kirk?
Go ahead.
I said Todd and Deidre, you and myself, we all had a great time down here that night.
Yep.
Watching, who was it, Richie Kotzen?
Richie Kotzen, great guitar player.
Yeah, that's the first time I had been to Knuckleheads. I'd always heard about this being a great place, so we were down there. We had a great time.
We popped his cherry down there. Yeah. And then I went the next night, and I went and saw Blackstone Cherry. I went two nights in a row. Yeah. Little too much whiskey that week. Just so you know. All right, Lee. Thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks, boys. Have a great week.
All right. You too. So, there you have it. She agreed with me, Kurt, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, I just...
She totally agreed with me on egg in the face of NASCAR, and that's why they waited 3 hours and 19 minutes to restart that race. You heard it.
Well, when I was watching it live, I didn't hear that the guys said that. I heard Dale Jr. said, well, I don't know what more they could have done in this kind of circumstance. It wasn't raining
Dale
anywhere
Jr.
else
was...
on the racetrack. Rain all of a sudden came in turn one, and, you know, what are you going to do? Throw the flag before it's raining?
The drivers called it the lap before that it was raining in turn one. You didn't hear that part.
I didn't hear that part, but I didn't hear any complaints about it. The broadcast that I was watching. So I thought there wasn't anything that NASCAR could have done.
So Lee was there, and she confirms that NASCAR was trying to save some egg on their face.
But I'm glad they restarted it. I'm glad that they just didn't call it there. Regardless of all of that, I think they did right by waiting it out and try to finish that race. I'm glad they did.
Hmm.
Hey, how about some of this late model racing over the weekend?
We've already went over the 20 minutes. We're going to save some of that late model stuff for tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Your Hall of Fame is still going on up there.
Yeah.
Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is going on right now. So they got the great track tribute going on with Ascot Park up there. As we speak, it's going to be going on through October 1st. They've got videos, driver, uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from all over the place at Ascot Park, and it's no better time to get up there and see it right now. I've mentioned that my favorite car up there out of all the cars that they have on display is the Jimmy Oski old pink car. It's still the original patina. It's still painted like the day it came off of the racetrack, and that's what I love about those. I love it when I see unrestored race cars. For some reason, I just love it. And they also have a Pernelli Jones Turkey Night Midget there as well. Dean Thompson, number 2 sprint car. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out. It's a great exhibit, folks. Ascot Park was one of the great racetracks in America back in its day. And while you're up there, you can buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 XXX chassis 410 sprint car with an oil motor in it. They're going to be giving that car away on Friday, December 16th. So you got plenty of time to still buy a raffle ticket for this complete race-ready 410 Sprint car that they're going to be giving away up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They're going to give you $25,000 for the taxes as well. So this is a great deal. It's a complete 410 Sprint car. And again, they're going to be giving it away on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't do it at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, if you can't make it up there, you can always do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.